Session number 10208, Reel 1.
Mr. Ash, Reel 1. Could you tell me when it was and how it was that you first came to go to Greece in 1944, Mr. Ash?
I was GSO 3 of 23rd Armoured Brigade, which was an independent brigade, and we had been drawn back into Middle East Reserve from the Italian campaign earlier in that year, just after the capture of Rome. And whilst there and in training, we learnt that we were to form the force to return and reoccupy Greece. The 23rd Army Brigade was made responsible for the complete force, which, as I remember, consisted of one other brigade apart from us and various other troops. I actually got something like an order of battle. I found it in amongst my papers, which I can let you have if you're really interested. Because I ultimately wrote the brigade history for this period, and I found a copy of it, so you can have it. We were responsible for the loading in Elex Harbour of the entire force. I think that once we got back to Greece, I'd have to check the date, but I think it was in the early days of October. Terrible, I can't remember that. We reverted, as it were, to command simply of the forces in Attica and other forces occupied Salonika and Patras in the Peloponnese. Anyway, I just was there as one small cog in the wheel of the entire expeditionary force, which was too small to make anything but an unopposed landing, and so we had to wait for the withdrawal of the Germans. We hang around in Alex Harbour for weeks, really, with everything loaded up and ready to go, until we got the signal from intelligence that we should go.
What was the situation in Greece when you arrived, from the point of view of the condition of the population?
Well, I suppose one way of expressing it is that the reception we got on our return was totally unbelievable, overwhelming. These days, I think, hard to imagine. It went on for days, really, for weeks. It was impossible for a British vehicle to go anywhere in the Athens area without everybody stopping to applaud it as it went past. It was really overwhelming, actually.
Did that surprise you, in view of the fact that we'd had to make a quick exit from Greece in 1941?
I don't know if it surprised me or not. I think we were political innocents, quite honestly. Were totally unaware in the army of the political undercurrents that were there. I should have been better alerted to it, I suppose, having done a degree in economics and a social science and all the rest of it. But quite frankly, one had been immersed in the war for the previous 5 years.
Do you think that the warmth of the reception was because of you replacing the Germans, or for other reasons?
Both, as a matter of fact, and it slowly dawned upon one that it wasn't just because we were replacing the Germans. I think the best illustration of that is the fact that I was sent on some kind of liaison visit in the middle of November, I guess it must have been, up country, not very far, but perhaps to Thebes or somewhere like that. And I realised then that that what was true in Athens was not true outside. And it was very disturbing, distressing, disquieting to see that in fact outside Athens the writ of the temporary government did not run, and that effectively the Communist Party, alas, or rather EAM, that was the writ that ran there. In fact, I came back to Athens and informed my brigadier, Brigadier Arkwright, of this, and he made no particular comment that I can remember, but I realized from that point onwards that we were in trouble, that there was trouble around us, so to speak.
Did Arkwright seem to know about this situation, or was it news to him?
I think it wasn't entirely news to him, but I don't think he realized its import, really. I can't speak for him, he's dead now anyway. But he must have had more knowledge than I did on an intelligence level, so to speak. But as I said, I think we were political innocents.
How did the writ of Aam, as you put it, manifest itself?
Well, every village you passed through and every town was daubed with slogans of Aam. Let me see. I can't remember what that mission of mine was. I think it was probably to make contact with the British liaison officer who was connected with one of the so-called National Guard regiments, which was a kind of embryonic force which the new temporary government in Athens was seeking to create, embryonic sort of army, something of that nature, I guess, was the purpose of my visit. And I think that I was not allowed by the local political chief to talk to the commander, such as he was, the Greek commander of this force, without them being present. That sort of awareness.
Who was this local political chief, do you know?
Oh, he'd have been an Elas AAM political officer.
What was their attitude and demeanour towards you as a British officer?
Oh, very friendly, per se. Extraordinary. I mean, the best illustration of that, I don't know if we're jumping ahead, but was the episode which occurred just before the fighting broke out in Athens, which was that we learnt from the British liaison officer up country, I suppose it was somewhere, I think it was near Chalcis actually, by Euboea, that the Elas force battalion, I think it was, to which he was attached, had as it were folded its tents and stolen away, and he didn't know where they'd gone. Outside of Attica, you see, outside of Attica, the Athens area itself, no armed force was permitted except for the British, the British army. And therefore, Elas had not been disarmed beyond those that perimeter, so to speak. Anyway, this force had disappeared, and the next thing we knew about it, a day or two later, was a report that came in from up the road to Kephissia, which is the sort of suburb 10 miles outside of Athens, up towards the Marathon Dam, that a considerable force of guerrillas was resting there. And we, the brigade major and myself, were sent up to find out what it was. And it was indeed this battalion that had disappeared from the Caucasus area. This was late in the evening. And my brigade major, whose name was Phillips, if he's still alive, confronted the commander, the commander of this battalion, and said to him, "You realize that no armed force is permitted in the Athens area." And it was a perfectly friendly conversation, and the man said nevertheless he was there, or words to that effect. We went back into Athens and arranged for I think it was a parachute, because we had a battalion of the parachute regiment under command. They were sent up, I don't know in what force, and they found these people, although by that time they had dispersed to some extent, got off the main road at least. Anyway, they found them and they simply disarmed them. And the point about that, in the light of your question, is that these people were very trusting towards the British. I think that was the point of your question. They didn't at that time view us as their enemy. In fact, they could not believe that we ever would be their enemy. They thought that we were completely neutral. One has to say that the trigger, if there was such a thing, for the Civil War, I say if there was such a thing, because it was obviously a question of mounting tension, of reaction and counteraction on both sides, was the return to Greece from Italy of the Greek Mountain Brigade. This was the only Greek force that was a properly constituted fighting force, still fighting the Germans outside Greece, and it had it was part of the Allied army in Italy, and it was the bringing back to Greece, to the Athens area, of the Greek Mountain Brigade, which was known to be royalist, that I think, and that must have been around the middle of November that they returned, that spoke to the left, to the Communist Party, of well, not still not of the shall we say duplicity of the British, but anyway of pending action on the part of the so-called temporary government to prevent them taking power.
Going back to the warm reception of the people of Athens to the British troops, what was the other reason for their warm welcome, apart from the fact that you were replacing the Germans?
I think it was that we were a protection against the left, against Elas.
Did any of them speak to you in those terms? About?
No, I didn't speak any Greek. I didn't really have any direct personal conversations with people, actually, about that. I can only say that when it was all over, well, no, let me start earlier, before it began, in the days leading up to the outbreak of fighting, AAM massed its support in the middle of Athens in the form of large crowds which were shouting and baying under our window in our headquarters in the middle of Athens, in the so-called Mexicontamian building and in Constitution Square, right next to it. And they must have numbered a good 5,000 people shouting A.M., 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 in a kind of pretty frightening way. It was a demonstration that took place, I think, after an event two or three days earlier in which the National Guard or police, I'm not sure which, had shot perhaps as many as half a dozen people in a smaller demonstration in the middle of Athens. Anyway, be that as it may, the AM massed their political support, so to speak, in the middle of Athens, clearly with the idea of intimidating the government, which they almost certainly did. And that had to be contrasted with the mood that was displayed openly and publicly when it was all over, and when Elas had been chased out of the city. I'm talking about a month, 6 weeks later, when there was a switch over of public expression, public demonstration of feeling, such as, you know, makes one extremely cynical, has all subsequently made me extremely cynical about public expressions of enthusiasm of one kind or another. One realized at that point where the real feelings of the people had lain all the time.
Where had they lain?
Well, I would have said at the time that they'd lain with the royalist faction, if you want to call it that, to which you know, some justification or proof can be offered by the subsequent return of the king by, you know, by popular vote. It was pretty sad that I can't remember all that followed from that time on, because I was no longer there, of course. It was pretty sad to me that all that goodwill towards the monarchy was dissipated, I don't know in what form or another. But so it was it not? But at that time, at least, after the battle was all over, the sentiment was a great surge of sympathy and support for, if you like, the right, but I think really for the monarchy, actually.
And that took the form of similar demonstrations, but in support of the king?
They weren't demonstrations. They were not organized as such at all, you know. It was a reversion, in fact, to the days of our first landing in Greece. It was just spontaneous applause wherever you went in the city. From that time on, it was another outbreak of relief, if you like. We were once again treated as liberators in the real sense of the word.
Can we go back and pick up the narrative, because we rather interrupted it with you having arrived and then made your first visit outside Athens. Mm. Can you take it on from there?
Well, I've covered it in part, I think, in what I said about the shootings in the centre of Athens by the police, and then the demonstrations of AM.
Did you see those shootings?
No, I didn't actually see them. Nor did I, must confess, realize their significance. We were political innocents, quite honestly. And we thought it was as inconceivable as, I think, Elas and the Greek left thought it was inconceivable that we should be at war with one another. There was towards the British from all sides a sentiment of great affection. It was really extraordinary. And for a while, as I said, I think Greeks of all kinds found it unimaginable that we should actually participate in their private war. It was this factor, I'm jumping ahead again now, which underlay the whole conduct of the battle as it subsequently developed, because the battle was, tactically speaking, absolutely crazy. I can tell you some of the details, and they're in that brigade history if you want it. But we were in fact defending a paper-thin perimeter by the time the war or the battle had got going around the center of Athens. It had very little tactical substance to it at all. There were one or two outposts, as it were, in the city that had to be withdrawn into this perimeter. There was a battalion of, I think, the 46th tanks up by the university, and it became evident that they were being made a target, so they had to be withdrawn, and that happened successfully, I think, about a week after the shooting began. They got back. Brigade rear headquarters was in fact outside the front line. Everything had been sighted without any tactical rationale whatsoever in the first instance. We were scattered around wherever we could find quarters in the city. And that brigade rear headquarters was attacked. It lay under Lykavitos, the great hill in the middle of Athens. One night, about 10 days, I suppose, after the fighting began, and a good deal of killing and taking of prisoners took place. It was in the old infantry barracks. It was a rather disgraceful episode, as a matter of fact. But I suppose rear headquarters weren't used to that sort of activity. And most notorious of all was RAF, the RAF headquarters outside Athens, up at Kephissia, which is about 10 miles north of Athens. They found for themselves, as they generally did, the nicest, the plushiest, you know, places to put themselves in. Only when the fighting started to discover that they were completely vulnerable, and they were indeed all put in the bag, I think about 300, 500 of them, and marched off ignominiously up country. But those outposts apart, we were fighting in a paper-thin perimeter without any tactical reserve whatsoever. Everything was deployed, engaged, barring perhaps three armoured cars. And yet, Elas, who had brought in these forces from outside the city, never attempted to crack that shell. What they were concerned with was fighting the Mountain Brigade, which was situated at a suburb to the north of the city called New Smyrna, which was a working class area that had been built originally, I think, to house the refugees from Turkey after the First World War. And that's where the Mountain Brigade were, and that was what Elas had its sights on. And the real battle was fought between the Mountain Brigade and Elas at this outlying suburb, which had no tactical significance whatsoever. If they'd had any sense, they could have just gone through us like a knife through butter and come straight into the centre of Athens. That would have been the end of that. But they didn't.
They didn't because of the sentiment towards the British?
No, because of the hatred they had for the royalists, exemplified by the Mountain Brigade. I mean, perhaps the sentiment they had for the British had something to do with it. I don't know. I don't know whether there was any instruction from Russia or whatever, because there was some agreement about whose was Greece, as it were, was there not? I don't know if there was any such instruction from far away, but no, I think it was an emotional thing of hatred of their own people, actually.
Can you tell me what you observed of events in sequence after these AM demonstrations that you described?
The situation was extremely confused. At some early point, our staff, as it were, the brigade, was divided in two, and the brigadier and the brigade major were made responsible. I mean, he became a temporary major general, and he became a temporary lieutenant colonel, GSO1, of a new force called Arc Force, which was put in command of all troops in Attica. And you can find the order of battle, such as it is, in that brigade history I've just given to you. I can't remember all the troops that were under command. There was it a brigade in Piraeus, or was it a battalion? I can't remember, I'm afraid, but you find that. There was a battalion of the parachute regiment, there was a battalion of the HLI, and there were our own forces, such as they were, of which only one of the three tank battalions or regiments in the brigade had any armour at all, and that was only, I think, a squadron. The rest were all dismounted. Anyway, the situation was highly confused and was dominated in my memory.